Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, the PGA Tour is back in a big way. We had a shocking back-to-back winner and a huge cash out for a friend of the show as well. Plus, Live happened, I think. We'll get into that briefly as we have a President's Cup preview on a related note. We're tuned into some dancing and pizza, and this week's guest is a hilarious content creator. Her name is Everyday Maggie, and we're talking Boston Live Tour versus PGA Tour as a fan and a whole lot more. A really fun conversation coming your way, and it's Pumpkin Obsession season and fall flavor vibes when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our good friends and our longtime partners, Mike at Desert Fox Golf. We love the guys at Desert Fox Golf. The team is growing. The product line is growing. They are more than just the phone caddy now. We tell you every week about how great the phone caddy is, but they've now come out with a really cool line of Swing 8 tumblers that are themed in a whole bunch of different professions and a whole bunch of different people going through their day-to-day life that just need cold hydration. This is the tumbler for you. We use it on our golf trips, and we're going to continue to use it when it's warm, which is pretty much all the time where we live. So if you need cold hydration or you just want a nice way to carry your drink on the go, check out desertfoxgolf.com and check out their Swing 8 products as well. Promo code COURSEOFLIFE saves you 10%. So promo code COURSEOFLIFE, again, saves you 10% at desertfoxgolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and D3 Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was the return of the PGA Tour season. The 2022-2023 season got kicked off in Napa Valley at Silverado for the Fortinet Championship.
Nailed it.
And, I don't know how confident you are from 3.5 feet, but I'm pretty sure you're more confident than Danny Willett was, because he did what we maybe thought Scottie Scheffler was going to do at the Masters this year and putt forever and not win. And he unfortunately, I hate, it's one of these things where it's like, I don't want to make fun of him. I don't want to make fun of Danny Willett for 3-putting from 3.5 feet for bogey and losing.
Blowing the whole tournament, yes.
Blowing the whole tournament. And Max Homa pitching in from 33 feet. All the things that needed to happen for Max Homa to win and win twice in Napa Valley happened. And it's just horrible how it happened.
What a dramatic finish to that 72nd hole, that tournament. And something you're not always expecting when we get into these fall series events. But we had a great finish. And it's worth watching the replay if you hadn't seen. But yeah, this finish looked like yours and my match. Like when we're trying to like break 80 and 100. And we're like scraping out bogeys here. Like all sorts of fireworks on the last hole. The hole looks like it's the size of your pinky finger all of a sudden if you're Danny Willett after that chip shot goes in for Homa. And he did the classic 3-putt stoink that we always make fun of. It was the Dustin Johnson to win the US Open at Chambers Bay. I mean, you remember them because they're just so vivid. And when you see that first putt go flying by off the lip, you immediately know you're potentially in for catastrophe. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, of course, he played well enough through the rest of the day and had himself in good position, and he
did
missed the birdie, missed the par, and then made the bogey, and that was the championship right there, unfortunately.
Yeah, so he walked off the green and he had this funny little like laugh almost as if to say like, no, yeah, it's totally cool. No, I'm laughing, it's fine, I just blew the entire tournament and I'm gonna be pissed for weeks, but it's fine, I'm smiling and laughing, so you can't tell. It was one of those the whole room is on fire around him meme type of laughs. Yeah. However he needs to cope with it, best of luck. But just remember, Mike, Danny Willett has a green jacket. He's a master champion, so he's always got that to sleep at night.
That's true indeed. One other highlight we need a shout out from this weekend was the finishing round 64 and the 13 under solo third finish by now card carrying member and former guest on this podcast way back in the day.
And our close personal friend as well. You forgot to mention that.
That's right. Well, maybe more your close personal friend, Taylor Montgomery.
Wow. What a debut.
Yeah.
For former Course of Life podcast guest Taylor Montgomery, we had him on earlier this summer. You remember when he qualified for the U.S. Open in Brookline? That wasn't his first U.S. Open. He's played in a couple now. So this was his official debut as a card-carrying member. Just kind of lingering around T30, T40 all week. Decent start, four under par, not doing anything crazy. And then all of a sudden, Sunday afternoon, the graphics arise from the PGA Tour's Twitter account. And Taylor Montgomery's making birdies left and right. He posted a 64 just when you need it. Solo third, first event ever. That's a nice little cash out to get your PGA Tour career going. So tip of the cap and applause for him as well.
It is indeed. Can I also just ask a question? Is this the first top 10 finish for Ricky Fowler in like 3 years?
It may be. Yeah, it's definitely been a while for sure. Yeah. Shout out to Ricky, who also had a decent week. So it was neat to see those guys kind of flare on the leaderboard. My picks, Heath Degala, lingered a little bit. As for Taylor, he's taken a week off, obviously, because the President's Cup. He's playing back in Mississippi, and then he's got a home game in Vegas in 3 weeks for the Shriners. So listen, I'm saying he could be knocking on the door pretty soon here. Solidified it right off the bat.
We'll see what happens. If he wins, you know, he's got to come on the podcast first. It's got to be his first interview stop, right?
That's right. You'll hear it here first.
Let's go ahead and talk about the LPGA. They were in action this weekend as well. And a pretty incredible story. Andrea Lee, who fired a 66 on Sunday to capture her first win on the LPGA Tour. Yeah. She, by the way, began the year carrying her own bag on the Epson Tour.
Oh, man. What a come up that is.
Yeah.
Now, the Epson Tour being the Korn Ferry version for the LPGA, basically the feeder tour, the AAA baseball, if you will, to the major leagues, so the LPGA. Carrying her own bag, though, didn't even have the friend or the cousin or the family member or any acquaintance to lean on to carry her own bag. Quite a come up this year for Andrea Lee then, I guess. Jeez.
Yeah, and she turned pro right around the turn of the 2020 calendar year. And if you remember, she was one of the best amateur golfers in the world, All-American at Stanford.
Okay.
And she was on the victorious U.S. Curtis Cup team at Quaker Ridge in Scarsdale, New York, back then as well. So she's going to be a star of the LPGA Tour. So.
Like Look it. Out. Wow. We're rags to riches real fast. And shout out to the Epson Tour for getting her the opportunity she needed to get exemptions and get into spots in the LPGA. And she delivered with the win of a lifetime. Love it.
Let's talk about LIV Golf real quick, because they were in action this weekend as well. And let's be honest. The highlight was how that rope took out Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes. I was wondering what your highlight was going to be, because I know you watched the replay of all 6 hours of coverage each day. So you'd poured through 18 hours of footage, and I knew you were going to come away with Bryson versus the rope as your highlight. It seems like the rope is just what the PGA Tour needed to take LIV Golf down this whole time. That's it. Just the rope that protects the fans.
It's just, you know, nothing is going to stop the four aces from their dynasty the day of built, which Arlo White compared to Michael Jordan's Bulls.
Oh, lovely. What a lovely comparison that is.
I think the rope could have a chance at taking out the four aces if it took out the right guy.
Wow, rope versus four aces, head-to-head match. Yeah. I'll have to handicap that one and get back to you. But yeah, the LIV did happen. It's one of those things where, you know me, I am dying to be at the forefront of the LIV coverage. I'm trying to follow it. I'm trying to stay into it. I'm not swearing allegiance to it, but I'm trying to keep up on all things LIV. When it's football season now, Mike, I had a hard enough time dedicating, you know, about 30, 60 minutes a day to watching the coverage in Napa to see what's going on there and see the finish. I just didn't have the wherewithal, the space during a football weekend to catch LIV. And outside of little spaces and corners on Twitter, you really wouldn't know what happened otherwise.
No, I mean, look, Cam Smith won. And the four aces won. So that's I mean, really, that's all you need to know every week is that really right now, every week is the four aces are going to win. Pat Perez is going to get up to his contract amount sooner.
He is. Yep.
And that's all you really need to know.
The thing is, leading into our President's Cup is sadly, lots of the international team we would have seen at Quill Hall this week was in the field, and then they dedicated themselves to the LIV Tour. Wait, I can just go right through without even looking. They could have Cam Smith, Mark Leishman, Joaquin Niemann, Abraham Mancer all on their team this week, but they do not.
No, they don't. So let's talk about the President's Cup. Let's look ahead to this weekend. President's Cup. Presidents is plural.
Yes.
Not possessive in any way, which I said it last week. It's just weird. So the international team roster, you ready? We're going to do it.
And I know. It's dicey.
I got Hideki Matsuyama, one of the best players in the world.
Leader. Yep.
After that, it's a bunch of who's who. Sungjae Im. He's good. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Tom Kim.
Recent winner on tour. Okay. Little form.
Okay. Corey Connors.
Yeah. Okay.
Mito Pereira.
Haven't seen him since he choked away the PGA.
Yep. Adam Scott.
Getting up there.
Stalwart. He's the senior man there.
He is. He's dad.
Taylor Pendrith.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're reaching now. We're starting to reach.
Sebastian Munoz.
Okay. All right.
Maybe his cat, you know, maybe the caddy was on the podcast. Will be out there with him.
Shout out Tao.
Siwoo Kim.
Mm-hmm. Not much form recently from him.
Cam Davis.
Who does have a little bit of form. He's got a little form.
Everyone's favorite. Was he South African? Christian Bezuidenhout.
Nice work. Good pronunciation there. Solid. I mean, I like him. We haven't heard a lot from a lot of these guys in a bit form wise.
Yeah. And then we round out the international team with K.H. Lee.
The guy that keeps winning in Dallas at the Byron Nelson. A bit of a ragtag group. There's clearly some international names there that you'd be missing from President's Cup pass. And it's showing in the odds. I'm writing the Run Your Pool article, which is out now on runyourpool.com as you're listening. If you want the full betting preview, they are plus 750, Mike. So a $10 bet on the international team to win. It is a $75 win if they take this home. That gives you an idea as to how much of an underdog they are this week.
Just to compare to the U.S. team.
Yes.
Let's just run down the U.S. team for comparison, and we'll see who's the weakest link on the U.S. team, which is surprising who probably is. Okay, so the U.S. team, Patrick Cantlay.
Not a weak link, no.
Sam Burns. Mm. Justin Thomas. Scottie Scheffler, number one player in the world.
Right, yes.
Xander Schauffele, gold medalist. Tony Finau.
One of the hottest golfers in the world in the last few months.
Cam Young, one of the hottest cams in the world. Billy Horschel. Colin Morikawa, very weak season. Kevin Kisner.
Okay.
Maybe the veteran. Kisner, the veteran. Jordan Spieth. And now five-time PGA Tour winner, Max Homa.
I mean, she was just on fire. I don't know who's the wink link there.
Morikawa?
Maybe, which is crazy to think. Two-time major champion in the last 24 months is the weak link on this President's Cup U.S. team, basically.
I feel it's either Morikawa or maybe Kisner or Horschel. I don't know. But
yeah, so when you go 12 for 12 right there and you read through the names, it's clear the American team's massive favorite. They're somewhere in the neighborhood of minus 500. So you need to bet $50 to win 10 if the U.S. is going to win this President's Cup. Quail Hall is a favorable venue to them. Being PGA Tour vets, these guys up and down know the venue probably a lot better than some of these international guys. It's buckle up and pray if you're the international team. I think you could get lucky from a betting perspective and bet certain international players who've got form and could maybe win in singles or some spots early Thursday or Friday. But outside of that, I mean, this is quite a mountain to climb for Team International.
It really is. It's going to be rough.
I hope for a competitive Sunday. That's sadly what I really want to see. And I'm not bleeding through red, white, and blue. I don't need them to win this President's Cup by any stretch of the imagination. They've won 11 of 13 already. So I clearly know what that looks like and feels like, but I would just like to see something competitive on Sunday for singles.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we ever want.
Yeah. We'll Thursday. They spread it out 4 days, the President's Cup, not three. So that's kind of cool. You get 4 days of match play action.
So go Team USA. Pretty sure they're going to win. Let's go ahead and change over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Alex, have you watched the Chef's Table series at all on Netflix?
I think I've seen some maybe excerpts or clips on YouTube, but walk me through it. What's going on?
I actually had never seen the original Chef's Table series, but they just rolled out a new Chef's Table series about pizza. And every episode is about a different chef and how they came to make pizza and the struggles in their life and where they are now with pizza. And it's just a really interesting, well-shot, well-told stories about these chefs and why they decided to pick pizza and what it is about it that they kind of pour their heart and soul into it. And it's, you know, it's food porn for sure. Yep, it is definitely food porn.
Highly produced pizza baking material, documentary style. That's right in your wheelhouse. So I'll say that. Yeah.
Slow. A lot of slow motion, glistening shots of pizza coming out of the oven.
The bubbles.
These big fire ovens.
Love me some bubbles.
It's pretty delicious looking, all of it.
Okay.
Certainly say if you want something to drool over. Chef's Table Pizza is where it's at right now.
Love that. Yeah, be sure to follow Always In With Food as well on Instagram. We'll get some more food talk later, but I am tuned in this week to an interesting premiere. A little bit of worlds colliding. Dancing with the Stars is back this week. It had been on ABC forever and ever and ever. They're trying something new now. We're entering your world, Mike. Dancing with the Stars doing live streaming broadcasts of their show on Monday nights through Disney Plus. First time venture here. So we'll see how it goes throughout this season, but it'll be interesting to see what a live kind of very live centric show is like on a streaming service for the first time in my viewing, at least.
I mean, who's your money on for winning this season? I don't even know who's in the.
Oh my God. The cast is so unrecognizable that we won't even go through all the names because it will bore you. It'll bore you and everyone listening. But the bottom line is that you and I are rooting for Wayne Brady because he's on the season.
So. Oh, hey, I know Wayne Brady. He's talented. He's going
to
win.
So we're team Wayne Brady. I'm going to tell you to vote 10 times each Monday night. So get in tune for that. And we'll see him in the championship round, basically.
All right. There you go. Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. We're constantly bashing on New England, the two of us, because we're from there and that's what we're allowed to do. And people in New England are just, we're self-deprecating.
Yeah, miserable too is a word as well that comes up in this conversation. Yeah.
So this week's guest, most commonly known as Everyday Maggie, is one of the funniest and loudest parts of Boston. She doesn't hesitate in making fun in the area either.
No, not at all. Takes us on all of her adventures through Boston and New England with hilarious content you've probably seen on TikTok, if not Instagram. Really cool conversation about how the content comes together, her crazy scrambled brain, and how all the magic is created. A fun conversation with Everyday Maggie.
It is indeed. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's talk about D3. That's Dollar Dollar Dollar, the official on-course betting app of the Course of Life. It's the best way for you to challenge your friend who doesn't live near you anymore and make them play you for money in a round of golf at any time over a two-week period on any course that they choose. And it'll adjust for handicap. It'll adjust for course difficulty. The only thing it won't adjust for is the weather.
You can't
have everything,
but it does everything else you need to create that match atmosphere, whether you're with your friends or not, like you mentioned. So D3 local remote action all through the app, a really cool ingenious way to exchange those wagering moments on the golf course. Be sure to check it out because we're already on there on the app. So download D3 app and play with us today. Next up, we have a content creator and comedian from Boston that's blowing up right now with hilarious takes on all things regarding Boston and New England, which we love talking about here on the show. It's Everyday Maggie joining us on The Course of Life. Maggie, how are you?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing awesome today. How are you?
Very, very good. Yep. I'm here in Austin, Texas, but Boston runs through my blood. So it's great to connect with people who are back there and giving out some awesome takes and bits on all things Boston, which you do really well all throughout social media. We originally got connected through our mutual friend, Joe, aka Fenty Fried Chicken. I'm curious, what's your duration and length? How long ago you started creating the content as Everyday Maggie specifically?
Yeah, sure. And thank you so much. I certainly don't feel like I'm one of those people that's like, oh, I'm blowing up. So when I hear people say that, I have to like pinch myself a little bit.
In our little world with you and me right now, you are blowing up by my standards. Okay.
And well, I mean, the whole content creation thing has been super fun and honestly has happened pretty organically. So back in 2021, actually, Joe and I, Fenty and I, started like the same exact month in the pandemic. It was like March of 2021. We didn't know each other or anything. It was probably not until about, you know, 6 or 8 months into both of us making content until we kind of like discovered the other person. But yeah, I myself am just like a super weird, kind of quirky, creative person. And my whole life have just been super into like making silly videos and, you know, back in the days of Vine, when that was a thing.
Yes, Vine.
I, you know, would just like joke around with friends and make Vines. None of them blew up or anything. But it was just fun. And when I go on girls trips and things, we'll always at every girls trip do a different music video. My friend will edit it together. So I've just always been, I guess, super focused on that just because it's sort of a passion of mine. And so during the pandemic, when things were obviously shut down, it was really hard to engage with people. I was really missing that interaction. And I sort of just started just randomly doing it. I had made one video that I sent my mom, which was my first video that ever blew up on TikTok. It was how you talk to your coworkers versus family members. And it was, you know, deep in the days of like remote work and everyone struggling with it. And oh my God, do you realize you're still on mute? And all those jokes that have been like super overplayed at this point. But I put it on TikTok and it sort of blew up. I didn't have push notifications on or anything. I went back a few days later and it had like 800,000 views.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Yeah, so
wow.
It
maybe
truly
I
did happen.
Yeah, so maybe I could actually just like do this a little bit. So I started investing more time into it, and the Boston stuff sort of happened organically because I live in Boston and have lived here for a long time. I've lived kind of all over New England. So yeah, it's sort of naturally lended itself into Boston culture and all of that just based on location and sort of my interests.
Nice. I appreciate the Vine reference as well, too. You don't hear much about Vine these days. I'm in that perfect age range, Maggie, where I'm too old for TikTok. I'm perfect for Instagram. I still remember Vine, though. So I appreciate that.
There we go. I feel like sometimes I'm even too old for TikTok. So yeah, I'm trying to branch out a little bit more and focus on Instagram.
Do the ideas for the bits, do they generally just come out of nowhere, or do you hear things from friends and family around that get you inspired? Where do you get your inspiration from most?
I feel like I am inspired by literally everything. And I'll give you an example. Like my psycho neighbor just put up a Halloween dead hand that's now hanging in my perfect view here.
Oh, wow. It's already time for that, isn't it?
I'm like, how is it already time for Halloween? But I literally walked outside today and was like, oh, when your neighbor like decorates for Halloween too early. It was like, I feel like I'm just constantly getting inspired by the things I'm seeing. But also since so much of my stuff is about Boston and New England, just kind of being here and capitalizing on things that are going on, whether it's like the T shutting down or, you know, the Red Sox and how they're performing or things like that, just sort of happens and flows. I do keep a notes document though in my phone. So anytime I think of something or a random idea, I'll just sort of jot it down and then kind of come back to it.
Yeah, we're cut from the same cloth. I do the exact same thing. Whenever I strike inspiration, just instantly into the note, I'll get back to it sometime later. I appreciate that method. And yes, we will get to the T in public transportation in a little bit. But first, we got to get to the elephant in the room here. And it's Huya. We got to talk Huya. Explain Huya, what it is, where it first entered your brain, where you first heard it. Let's just get to the origin first before all the crazy places we've seen Huya recently.
Sure. And before I do that, I have to ask you, Alex, can I get a Huya?
Huya. Huya. You can. And you're not afraid to ask that, which I appreciate too. You're very bold. You must have some sort of background in sales or marketing, because I can tell you're not afraid to ask for the sale and the Huya, no matter who it is.
I actually do have a background in both sales and marketing. So you are spot on there. Honestly, I feel like I must have a screw loose because I don't care what people think about me in public settings. Like, to me, I'm like, oh, if anything, I look a little silly or embarrass myself. Like, yeah, obviously. But what is the person on the receiving end going to do? It's like, oh, I saw some crazy girl today who like kind of made me chuckle a little. Or like, oh, I saw that weirdo. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's no risk in it. And it's more fun to just engage with people versus just everybody walking around in their phones all day. But
yeah,
I'll get back to your question, which was how the whole yeah sort of came about. It's actually a very old trend, probably like 2 years old or something like that. I had seen a video when I first downloaded TikTok in the pandemic, that, you know, just like random people were asking, like, can I get a hoya? And people would give a response. But I sort of, I don't know. I felt like it was a dead trend, and I did it one time and it blew up, and I was like, huh, I'm going to do this again and make this like my thing. And people always comment on it and be like, this is so old. This isn't funny anymore. And honestly, it fuels me to do it even more. I'm sorry to say, because it isn't funny anymore. It is cringy. It is annoying. It is embarrassing. And it is old, but I'm still going to do it anyway.
Well, the thing with the Boston angle is I feel like it works nicely, because whenever someone from Boston gives a real sign of approval or they really like something, they'll say something along the lines of, oh yeah, it's not quite exactly that, but it's close enough. So I think it resonates.
I agree with that too. Yeah, especially. Or, you know, they'll say, go fuck yourself. Either one. In both cases, I feel like it's approval from a Bostonian standpoint. So
definitely. Your most famous Hoya was Bob Kraft, in my mind, owner of the New England Patriots. Tell me about that sideline experience at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, so that was really, really cool. The shout out to Gillette Stadium and the social suite team there. They had invited me and a few other creators to actually attend and go to the sidelines, and I did not expect to see Robert Kraft at all. But we scouted him from afar and we sort of asked if we could, you know, go up and say hello. He is honestly one of the nicest people that I've ever spoken to, just like random stranger wise. He was super engaging. Like, you saw me ask him for a hoya. That was literally our first encounter. Like, I walked up to him before saying anything else, was just like, hello, Mr. Kraft. Can I have a hoya? And I mean, you saw his response. He's like, what kind of thing? Like, what are you talking about? But, right after that, we actually carried on the conversation. He was talking to me and a couple of other people that were there. And he's like, this is the, you know, first Sunday where football's going to be on every single Sunday till February. And we're all like, this is what we live for, Mr. Kraft. So it was really fun. He was honestly super, super nice. And yeah, it was a really cool experience meeting him.
Good. Yeah, it looked like you were ready to get in too, if anyone went down with an injury. So Patriots, if you need any backups late in the season, Maggie could be a waiver wire pickup, I think.
Absolutely. I just had to be there just in case anything happened, you know, always looking out for New England Patriots. And whether it's cheerleader, linebacker, I got you.
Love that. We got to talk a little bit of golf, because you went to a couple of cool events that were in the New England area and did some really funny content there. Let's first talk about the U.S. Open at the Country Club at Brookline, a really historic track that's like right in intermixed with everything in the city of Boston. And it looked like that was a really successful tournament week from the golf and fans perspective. What was your favorite part of attending that week?
Yeah. So I have to give a shout out. I'm actually a twin. I have a twin brother who is a professional golfer. He's trying to make it big on the tour.
Nice, and, nice. Where's he playing? What tours is he on? How's he doing? What's the status?
He's awesome. So he most recently played on the Latin America tour.
Nice.
He was in Latin America this year. I think in the future might be trying to play in Europe next year. So rooting for him. His name's Chris.
He's a future podcast guest. So thanks for the networking in advance.
I hope so. But actually, Chris used to live with a really successful tour guy named Denny McCarthy, who you may know of.
Oh, yeah, and definitely. So
Denny is a really close friend of mine, and he hooked us up with the tickets to the U.S. Open, which was so cool. And yeah, that event was awesome. I would say just having such an iconic tournament be in Boston, you know, one of the major four tournaments, was just huge. And there was a lot of excitement. There was a ton of people there and it was just really, really good energy. I mean, obviously, I think we'll get into this, hopefully, the difference sort of between a PGA and a LIV event. You know, it's a little bit more, you know, conservative, I would say, at the PGA event. But there was certainly still, you know, a lot of crowd cheering, a lot of roaring, a lot of excitement there, too. So
yeah,
certainly a lot to be a part of.
You were you must have been reading my notes because that was a perfect transition. The other event you got to attend was at the International recently. Obviously, the big controversy in the game, which we talk about at nauseam, is the PGA Tour versus LIV Golf and everything that's going on competitively with the structure of the game. You got to attend the LIV event and kind of see what's going on there in person. You mentioned there's a little bit of a vibe shift, it seemed like, from a casual fan perspective. What was the biggest difference you noted?
Yeah. So, I mean, the LIV tour was really different than anything I've seen in sort of a golf setting. First and foremost, they have music just bumping. I mean, like you're walking around and watching players and in between, you know, them shooting and in between holes and things like that, you have and it literally feels like a vibey DJ
just
there.
Thumping European EDM, love it.
Yeah, so I would say by comparison, I think it's slightly more focused on the fan experience. Yeah. You know, they had Diplo performing afterwards, and everybody who bought a ticket could just automatically go to the Diplo concert, which was really cool. But even when they were, you know, announcing things like Dustin Johnson won and stuff, they had like insane fireworks. And I mean, it was just like, you could tell they put a lot of investment into what the fans think and how the fans are feeling. With that being said, there are still very strict when, you know, someone's about to hit a drive or,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
whatever it may be, you know, they still quiet everybody down and they don't want people, you know, shouting in the backswing and all that. But yeah, no, it's really, really fun.
How about the player vibe? Because I know you're not afraid to ask for stuff from these players. Maybe compare PGA Tour versus LIV players, because the thought process I have in my head is that these LIV golfers have all just gotten paid pretty handsomely. They should be in a pretty good mood. What did you think was easier, to get something funny out of the LIV golfers or the PGA Tour players at the US Open?
I felt like I was closer physically to the LIV golfers. Like I felt like you could kind of get closer to them and engage with them a little bit more, even in between shots. You know, it almost felt like we were all walking together kind of thing.
Yeah.
But so I would say that in that way, it felt like you could kind of connect with the LIV players more. I felt like I was shouting for Ho Yas at the US Open and they probably didn't even hear me. So you could kind of get up in their faces at the LIV tour. Sergio Garcia gave me one. Shout out Sergio, if you ever hear this. You were the only person who gave me a Ho Yeah, and I really, really appreciated it. Dustin Johnson gave me a little chuckle, which was, you know, all I was hoping to get out of him.
It's not bad out of him, yeah.
You know, I was glad that he, you know, kind of thought it was ridiculous or whatever and sort of chuckled. Matt Wolf.
Have been more annoyed with you, Matt Wolf.
Yeah, he said, absolutely not, or something like that. And I tried not to take it personally because he was really acting like a toddler all day.
There you go.
He threw his putter into the woods after he wasn't putting so well and then had to putt 8 holes with a wedge.
Yep, totally normal.
He had to deal with people screaming like, who needs a putter anyway? And this was at the end of his day, and you know, I was asking for a Ho Yeah, and I probably didn't catch him at the right time. But you know, I didn't appreciate that. He definitely could have given me one.
Nice. Appreciate the vibe comparison there. It's Everyday Maggie we're talking with here. She does amazing content, Everyday Maggie Boston on Instagram. This is just a quick opportunity for you to do some rants based on content you've already done. Let's just talk about kind of, you know, what's with Boston and all the random things going on. The first one is, Maggie, what's with Boston and the seasons? You profile this a lot. The seasons are always changing. Why are we up in Boston never, ever happy with any sort of weather at any point in the year?
Well, I think New Englanders and Bostonians, like, we love to complain about the weather. We're the first to celebrate the fact that we get to enjoy four seasons, but we also are the first to complain during every season about the
yes.
weather. So, you know, when the winter, it's so friggin' cold out here, and, you know, it's the storm of 78, you ain't seen nothing, like that kind of stuff. But then, you know, you fast forward to the summertime and, you know, it's friggin' hot out here and, you know, we're complaining, wishing that we were shoveling snow. So it's like, you know, pick one. And it just feels like a classic kind of New England, you know, we love to just complain about everything.
Nice. The next one I have to talk about is Southie Sunday lines for NFL football Sundays. Explain to me what's going on. I'm hearing that people are lining up hours and hours in advance of these games. Is that the case? Well, why are we lining up for games that we can watch on TV pretty much anywhere?
Yes. So I will say in my early 20s, I was guilty of this.
Ooh, did oh, I sure. We all were. Yep.
I was totally guilty of this. I was lining up at Stats, you know, early on a Sunday, and I was standing out there for, you know, way longer than I should have been to try to get into a crowded, decent bar. But yeah, I don't know. I find it just kind of silly that people do wait in line for that long to be in a crowded space. Like, maybe, I don't know. I'm very extroverted, but I am very introverted too. And being in a really congested place with beer getting spilled all over me and stuff is just not appealing. Like, I would rather eat buff chick dip on the couch, watch the game on the TV, and not deal with like other humans, especially like the bros of Southie. So that's sort of why I like to poke fun of it. But I think anyone in the Boston area, whether you're locals or people that move to Boston, can appreciate the Southie lines. You know, locals are like, they're like, they don't even go to these bars anyway, right? Like, they have their own local spots that they go to. So they think it's ridiculous. And then, you know, I think we all think it's ridiculous, even though we do it too.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's get to that public transportation update. I know you reported the breaking news to us. There's all sorts of craziness, it seems like, going on in the public transportation system in Boston. Have we gotten anything figured out? What's the update? Or are cars still burning and people still jumping into the water there?
It's pretty much chaos. I don't know if you saw the Green Line literally exploding on camera just 2 days ago.
Unbelievable.
That was purely Boston. Shout out Purely Boston. Definitely go check out their stuff on Instagram and TikTok. They posted a video of the Green Line quite literally exploding underground. And you could hear the people being like, Boston's the worst subway system in the fucking country.
At full volume.
So, you know, it's difficult, I think, because, you know, they're shutting down the Sumner Tunnel at the same time as multiple lines of the T. So it's just really hard to get anywhere, you know, even by commuter rail. So we're struggling a little bit in Massachusetts right now, public transportation. I'm hoping we're going to pull through and figure it out. But
wow, it sounds like your news updates aren't done yet then. Sounds like you got more reporting to do.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's, you know, I'm aging every single day as traffic is just getting worse and worse. But we'll see.
Love it. Again, it's Everyday Maggie Boston on Instagram. Check out Everyday Maggie's content everywhere, TikTok, socials, and all that. Let's get to some quick shot questions before we wrap up here. Tease, maybe what's upcoming or what's doing in the brain right now? We got the fall, we're mid football season, which is obviously a lot of Patriots content for you, but we got the holidays upcoming. Anything exciting that you're planning content wise that fans can look forward to?
Oh, thanks for asking. Yeah, I certainly am going to do a lot of football, Patriots, you nailed it there. It is Fashion Week this week, so I was probably going to do a Boston Fashion Week version, just sort of spoof on how we have no fashion here.
Yep.
And then, yeah, holidays are coming up. We're going to move from pumpkin spice to whatever, cinnamon spice.
Peppermint mocha is the move.
Peppermint mocha.
That's the one.
How did I not catch up on that?
Yeah, you clearly haven't been to Starbucks enough lately. I can see that. Gosh.
No, I'm loyal to Dunk's. I'm a Dunkies girl.
Yeah, you are. Same here as well, too. I wish there were more Dunkins in Texas. Fortunately, I do have one in Austin that I can live by. But other staple that you highlight a lot is Fenway Park. You love going check out the socks. What is on Everyday Maggie's Fenway, Frank?
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm a big fan of a little bit of ketchup, mustard, and relish. I like the variety there. It's perfect. It's a perfect bite. I get a lot of comments, people saying, you know, ketchup on hot dogs isn't a Boston thing. I don't even know. I mean, I've always everywhere had ketchup on my hot dogs. So
yeah, I agree. Well, you're in a safe space here with that. I'm okay with the toppings. I've been putting ketchup on my Fenway Frank for over 30 years, so it's all good with me.
There we go.
It's a very simple answer for this one, but your sprinkles side hack, can you explain that to everyone for their ice cream eating experience?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, I personally get panicky when I lick off all the sprinkles on my Twist ice cream cone. It's my favorite part, and it's wildly disappointing when there's one layer. So I just figured, why don't I ask for a side of sprinkles so that I can just continuously dip the cone into the sprinkles for every bite until the cone's gone.
Yeah, because that's what everyone's afraid of, is that moment when you've gotten rid of all the sprinkles and then you're just back to regular ice cream life. But you're not going to let that end.
And the learning here is, like, people are afraid to ask for things like a side of sprinkles. You go ask for what's yours. You go get your side of sprinkles. And just in general, never be afraid to speak up for yourself or ask for things or talk to random strangers.
Absolutely. That's how I got this interview. Thank you so much, Maggie, for joining the Course of Life again. Everyday Maggie Boston. Follow her on Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. Looking forward to the fall holidays content upcoming. And best of luck with the Patriots season. One game at a time, I guess, right?
Yeah, we'll hang in there. Thank you so much for having me. This was great to be here, and hopefully we'll get to chat again soon.
And we're back. Great chat there with Maggie. Interesting, though not surprising to hear about what it was like at LIV Golf versus PGA Tour Golf.
It is golf,
but louder. It really is. So.
Yeah, golf a louder. Like she said, I mean, it's just like, it's that in-your-face fan engagement, the thumping music all around the course, and it resonates even when you hear it on the broadcast. I mean, you know exactly who they're going after. They're hitting that kind of fan mass entertainment appeal that sometimes the tour doesn't, but is working really hard to do as well. And it was neat to hear U.S. Open experience. And I think we're going to have some more conversations from Maggie's network as well. Coming our way. Like she said, she's got some very cool connections in the world of golf. So it was neat to have her on.
Love it. And if you like that conversation with Maggie, plus everything else we do here on this podcast, go ahead and punch that subscribe button, leave us a rating, follow us on the social medias. We're on Instagram and Facebook and we're on Twitter. The podcast isn't officially on Twitter, but
we're there.
We chat on Twitter all the time. So you can find us all there. Let's talk about the WNBA finals, because guess what, Alex? The Aces, not the four Aces, but the Aces won.
Ah, there you go.
WNBA championships.
Guess you care more about the WNBA Aces than the four Aces of LIV Golf, it sounds like.
I mean, I feel like a WNBA team that wins championships is a better comparison to Michael Jordan's Bulls than a group of golfers in a 54-hole exhibition series.
Let's quickly shout out Becky Hammond right now.
Yes.
Because she is an unbelievable coach in basketball that probably doesn't get as much kind of household name exposure as you might want to hear from a basketball coach. Longtime WNBA player in her own right. Then coached on Greg Popovich's staff, the San Antonio Spurs, forever. Mm-hmm. She actually interned and filled in and became the first woman to coach in Popovich's place for the Spurs. Comes back to the WNBA. Coach of the Aces, takes them to the championship. She is going to be the first woman to get a full-time NBA coaching offer. Mark my words, lay the money down on it right now. It's only a matter of time.
All right, we're going to revisit this clip in 5 years
or so.
It'll be good
when that headline drops too, because we're just going to run this back and be like, yep, told you that long time ago. Becky Hammon, remember the name.
I'm sure there's a line out there somewhere in Vegas that you could put a dollar down on for that.
Right. First now. Woman NBA coach, Becky Hammon, happening soon.
There you go. All right, let's talk football because it's out in force right now. Let's talk college football. First of all, before we get into your horrific picks,
we'll get to the bad and the good. Yeah.
Let's just talk about the great signs from College Game Day at Appalachian State.
There were a lot. I mean, shout out to Boone, North Carolina. And what a day that was. Not only the game day celebration, but then the Hail Mary win. I don't think you could dream up a better day if you're a resident of Boone, North Carolina, or a student at App State. Great stuff.
No, that school cashed their $1.5 million check from Texas A&M, and they went off and they won a couple more football games as a result of it. So
that's awesome. Good for them. They've always been the little guy that could. You remember they upset Michigan famously 15 years ago. They did the same thing with Texas A&M last week, and they're on a great path. Love it.
There you go. You know what isn't winning, though, is your picks. You were 1-4 this weekend, Alex. Time to attempt to redeem yourself and explain to people why they should still have faith in you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long season. That's all I'm going with right now. It's so funny because I've told you for years and years, Mike, I'm a college football guy. You know, college football is easier to bet. I can find the lines. It's a winning game for me. The NFL is not my thing. I'm a college guy. And that, now that I'm a published author, you know how this works, right? Everything bizarro world happens as soon as these picks go out into the ether for the whole world to see. So that's just the state I'm living in right now. So I got to ride the wave on both sides of the football.
Yeah, so basically your college picks were crap, but your NFL picks were on 0.5-1 in your weekly Run Your Pool pick article. Wow. Was one of those five wins, was one of those the Giants beating the Panthers?
It was not. I even put out a little Twitter parlay betting against your Giants and loving Baker Mayfield and the Panthers. What a fool I am, because that obviously did not hit. But yeah, great runyourpool.com week. Check out those articles on Tuesday or Wednesday when they drop. That's where you get those gems. You can see them on Twitter as well. But let's get to the teams now and start with your Giants. We joked about this a month ago. The Giants were going through a perfect preseason, and we did the math. We ran all the equations, we ran all the numbers, and we decided that the Giants have given themselves a chance to go 23-0. Okay. Well, what that means is a 3-0 preseason, a 17-0 regular season, obviously the bye, and 3 wins in the playoffs to win the world championship. Yep. They are 5/23 of the way through the perfect 23-0 season. Your thoughts? Yep.
Look, we're going all the way. The Patriots weren't able to do it, and that's because the Giants stopped them from having a perfect season all those years ago. Right. And that's because the Giants knew that they were going to have their opportunity to be perfect one of these days.
Setting up the storyline. Wow.
That's happening right now in front of our eyes. I mean, Eli Manning is all in on these Giants as well from what we see on Twitter. So we know that the Manning love is there. So it's all in on the Giants right now.
I love how the Giants fan says it doesn't say anything about the current quarterback playing. He just says, no, yeah, but Eli Manning's all in on us. So, I mean, if Eli's all in, then we're obviously all in.
Last quarterback to win 2 Super Bowls was Eli Manning, and both those Super Bowls came against Patriots. So I'm just saying.
Amazing. We are there are 18 check marks remaining now on the path to 23-0. Congrats on completing the first 5 steps, really.
Thank you. You know, I just like feeling this feeling. I don't know what it feels like for the Patriots, but for the Giants, it feels great to be winning.
We're just squeaking by at 1-1, just holding on to second or third place in our own division. We've already relinquished that thing basically 2 weeks in. It's quite a different world we're living in right now at this very moment. Timestamp this. The undefeated New York Giants are for real. I just said that out loud.
That's right. Wow. That's okay. They're going to beat the Cowboys, and then it'll be even better. So,
man, can't wait. runyourpool.com for those articles, college and football, college football and NFL previews up by Wednesday. Check those out for all the picks there.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, like we said, always end with food on Instagram. It's our food segment that ends every Course of Life podcast episode. Odds and ends of the food world. And obviously, we're hammering home the theme because I have to blow this into everyone's brain this time of year. It's pumpkin spice season. My pumpkin obsession is fully taken over, Mike. It was a six-pack of pumpkin beer. It was the pumpkin bread request from my wife, which is getting made this week. I got the pumpkin iced coffee. And right now, as we speak, as you talk, I'm opening up my first Reese's pumpkin right now. Ooh. So, I mean, I've gone fully all the way in and no one can stop me.
Okay. There you go. I like the Reese's pumpkins because there's no pumpkin flavor in them.
Mm. Oh, so good. I don't know why. I mean, it's just the seasonal Reese's. Why does the peanut butter cup just hit harder? It just hits like 10% harder. Why?
You know what it is? It's because it doesn't have it's that kind of softer chocolate around it. It's not the harder cup chocolate that you typically get in a Reese's cup.
The ridges. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that shape and how it just there's more peanut butter, I think, as well in this in the shapes. So
God, that's good. First pumpkin's down. Love it. What were you up to? All right.
I was making apple butter and pecan babka.
Yes. Oh, man. I said fall vibes at the beginning. I wasn't sure exactly what it was. Yeah. I knew you'd come through, though. Tell me everything.
Did you see, you saw the picture on Instagram. I know you did.
That's of these that was up. I threw that story up. Always end with food. You got to be following so you can check out the stories there for all of Mike's baking creations as well. We get some posted, but you got to follow and check out the story there if you want to see the behind the scenes on all these.
Yeah, this was so the wife had made a couple weeks ago a slow cooker apple butter recipe. And so it was like, well, it needs to go into babka, and pecans and apple just go really well together. So it got pecans in there as well, and it all rolled up, and they were gorgeous. These were fantastic, and they were just delicious beyond belief. You know, maybe not my favorite, every time I eat it, actually, I'm like, wow, I actually really like it. It's like, I don't know if I want to put it ahead of chocolate or cinnamon. But it was just there is something about it right now. And maybe it is the time of year and it's like, hey, it's September. Yeah, it's 85 degrees outside, but it's getting a little cooler out there. And this kind of helps bring that flavor and that time of year into perspective that it's here. It's time.
Oh, yeah. Season's a mindset, especially in Austin, Texas. First day of fall, high temperature here on Thursday, 100 degrees. So you really have to do whatever you can to make the season a mindset thing a reality. Just don't step outside. But yes, I'm hearing this babka. This is like a sit by the fire pit, you know, with the warm apple cider, the coffee, enjoy the babka. Oh, that's quite a vibe there.
There you go. That's what it is.
All right. That was always end with food. And that's a wrap on this week's Course of Life. Everyone tune in. Right now, you're listened all the way to the end of the episode. You enjoyed this content. This is the 5-second window to click subscribe right now, wherever you're listening, so you can enjoy future episodes. We thank you for doing that. And thank you for tuning in. See you next week.